everybody, and welcome to the JRPG Book Club Podcast. Today, we on the magazine
wait, wait,
rack, we're talking about some news.
We're back.
We're back.
How you guys been?
Oh, I've been good.
I've been.
I want to do a formal apology before we really get into it, being like, yeah, we were going to upload the last episode, but it became very, like, unnecessary very quickly because all of the news stories we're going to talk about like just progressed, and it was already delayed because of just stuff going on in my life. So
and at that point, like, everybody knew about the stories had already changed by the time the episode
changed
was
greatly.
Out.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's where we're at.
new news.
But first,
what have you been playing?
For me, I have kind of been all over the place. Control came out on PS Plus, so I've been playing a little bit of that. I, for whatever reason, decided to start pick up Heart Gold, because I have Soul Silver. I beat it like 100%ed as much as I could of it, kind of thing, at least for my attention span. And I'm like, you know, I kind of want to just play Gen 2 Pokemon again. This is Gen 4 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But the best version of Gen 2 for me. And except for like my nostalgia for Crystal. Mm. And so that's been fun. I've been playing that a little bit again. There's been a little bit of stuff here and there. The new Mario game got leaked, and so I've been, like, taking a look at that. Well, not new, but, like, the re-release or whatever, so I've been, like, seeing the difference about it in the last one.
Mario World. 3D
World. Yes, 3D World. Or is it Land?
Bowser's Fury.
World?
Okay. Well, whatever World, the Wii U
Land was the DS one.
Yeah, the 3DS one. That one was good. I liked the 3DS one. Yeah, and everyone kept saying how good the Cat Mario game is, and...
Yeah. Real fun.
It seems like there's a bit of lagging issues on the Switch, though.
Oh,
so
good.
Yeah, I don't know if it's too bad or not, but, like, what I was seeing is, like, every time somebody would, like, transition into, like, an underground stage or things like that, it would just, like, hiccup pretty bad. I mean, they might fix it through, like, a patch or something, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I purposely stayed away from Bowser's Fury, too, because, like, I already know enough about the 3D Land World Land Wii U. Mm-hmm. and so I'm like, okay, I'll take a look at like overall impressions or whatever and stuff. But I stayed away from Bowser's Fury because I know nothing about that and I'm probably going to try and play it.
Yeah. That's like the reason I want it. It's because Bowser's, I keep hearing really good things about Bowser's Fury and people are saying like we need more of this in Mario. And I'm like, well, that's in cool. That case, I might pick it up just for that. Like, I don't mind the 3D worlds, but...
Yeah. Aren't they co-op? Sorry, go ahead, Jack.
That's all I want to play, because I had it on Wii U. I was one of the very few Wii U buyers, and I've bought plenty of games. It was a really good system for me. But I played 3D World, and I 100%ed that thing, and it's ridiculous to 100% it. I had lots of help. Because you have to do every level with every character, and I believe there's 5 characters.
There's Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Toad.
And then you get Rosalina after you beat the game. So then you got to go back, do everything with Rosalina.
I really don't want to. I don't want to do that.
I totally forgot about that because I remember I beat the game with Mario, and I'm like, that was fun. Bye.
Don't you look like a whole new world or something if you do it with everybody?
There's like 5 new worlds. Like,
yeah, I know they added a bunch. Because I know I'll do like the try and get all the star, the hidden stars or whatever.
Yeah, get all the stars.
I'm willing to do like the flagpole thing, but I don't want to do it with every single character. Like, if you're playing it co-op, that's fine. But like,
but at that point, it's just excessive.
Yeah. I definitely have friends jump in and just do the levels with me, or just like died. And just what was a bubble all the way through the level as I speed ran it.
Oh, is that how that works?
They can, because they can turn into a bubble and then like come to you. But yeah, I did that and I got it all, and it was very difficult and time consuming, but it was a lot of fun, and I don't want to do that again because I'm a completionist. I'll want to.
Definitely a one and done type.
I also don't want to pay $60 for that
for the DLC, because, basically
just for the DLC.
Yeah.
If
like 6 hours at most.
Right. If when I pick it up, I'll let you know and we can play the DLC together. Because I think it's co-op where you play like. It's Mario and then like Bowser Jr., right?
Yeah. Someone gets to play as Bowser Jr.
I feel like that's just the equivalent of you playing as Tails to the guy who's playing Sonic. So it's like.
Oh, Bowser Jr. is different enough. We'll see.
The camera follows you, and you have to follow Mario, and you can do some things, but not a lot. I don't know if I played as Bowser Jr.
Someone posted on Twitter about how like Bowser Jr. is like overpowered.
Oh really?
I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the selling point, right?
Yeah. Like I don't know. I'll give it a shot, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't get to play the other one because I never owned a Wii U, despite like kind of wanting to, and then like the Switch came out, and then everything except for Wind Waker has come out since on Switch, so.
Or the they re-released Twilight Princess.
Oh, that's true. I always forget that was a thing.
Yeah, they did a Twilight Princess HD on Wii U.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hopefully they did that rumored Zelda collection.
35th thing?
Yeah.
Where it's Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword coming to Switch. That would be really nice.
Which reminds me, the Mario Brothers anniversary thing is almost done. You can't buy it soon.
Didn't part 2 just happen? Oh, you mean the game?
Yeah.
That's right. That was a thing.
Yeah. The collection of Super Mario 64, which sadly doesn't have the original one where you can do like BLJs and stuff. And then Sunshine and Galaxy.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Just how that collection works. It's basically just an emulator on a cartridge, like running the ROM.
Game too. Like they're what'd not say, as good. They're not as good versions of the games. They're
I know
version.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, I do know. Well, the speedrunners were saying that Sunshine wasn't much different. They're like, except Sunshine is fine.
I think that was like the focus
of your the water. It's either all or nothing. There's no context of buttons because RNL triggers are different.
It depends on what controller you have. If you have a pro controller, then you can control it.
Oh, interesting.
I believe it was Simple Flip. Yeah, right. I think it was Simple Flips who said like, oh yeah, you need the pro controller to do that.
I don't even think the pro controller has that. You can't use a GameCube controller.
Yeah, which sucks.
Weird.
Yeah, that's weird. Like we have access to accessories that allow us to use GameCube controllers on Switch games. And why can't we use this GameCube controller on Super Mario Sunshine?
I was pretty upset by that collection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people are. It doesn't really even add anything new. Like there's no like art gallery or fun menus. It's like really just jump into the game.
It's very slam.
It does have a music player.
Yeah, that's about it.
Duh.
It feels like they just like threw it together in like 20 minutes. It's like, all right, we can sell this to people.
Yeah, honestly. Or we'll put it on so people really want it. We'll put it on a timer. Screw it.
I guess the only good thing about it is that Super Mario Sunshine's in widescreen, which looks really good.
Yeah, they. I mean, it's not like unnecessary because of like Sunshine and like. Being able to play the older games on Switch is always nice. Like, compatibility through, like, even if it has to not, even if it's not, like, backwards compatibility, it's still, like, something. So, like, people can still play it or, like, play it for the first time. I still need to play through Galaxy. I never played those, so.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah. To move on really quick, I'll touch down. I finished Final Fantasy II.
Yay!
It sucked.
Yep.
It's bad. The story isn't very story was like passable. The gameplay was okay. The level up system is really dumb, but I am going to literally have a whole blog post about it, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. And then I started the post game, and the post game didn't save how I thought it would. In Dawn of Souls, there's like a second story mode where it's all the characters who died.
Right, Dawn of Souls.
Yeah. And I started it, and I realized that something, it's supposed to carry over your equipment, and it didn't.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh, because the thing is, it's really hard, at least when you start out, if you don't have all the equipment.
That would make
sense.
So
I was just like, wow, this kind of sucks. Oh, well. And I just like, I was like, I don't want to play anymore Final Fantasy 2. So I started Final Fantasy 6. And it's
pretty good change.
So far. I played through, I think, like a fifth of the game before, and then I lost the save file, but I'm ready to give it another shot.
I like FF6. Like, I like that one a lot.
Yeah, I just want to see what everyone was like freaking out about. Because, you know, that's just it. When they did like the 10 best JRPGs of all time, or is it the top 50, I think. I remember that was like number one. It was like it was number two. It was Chrono Trigger, then Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Was that the JRPG subreddit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good list. I use that one a lot for like reference.
Very good. Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm glad you're done with this. We do better games.
Exactly. Yeah, FF2. It's a game I've tried to play a couple times and just not even like I want to go back, because like there's a lot of games where I'm like I just don't have the time to do this. That's FF2. Or that's not FF2. FF2 is I don't want to play this.
Yeah. Because I just wanted to play. I want to make sure that I have all of them done before 16 comes out. Mm. And I'm more than halfway. I think the only, like, after this, or after 6, I've got 6, 8, 9, I want to replay 10 and 12 left, and that's it.
Oh, nice.
I might play Final Fantasy 11 for a little bit. I don't know. But the thing is, like, I'm rounding third base. I'm, like, that close. So, I want to do it so I could brag that I played every single Final Fantasy.
I've started all of them besides, I think, 13, if that counts. It doesn't. But there's quite a few of them I didn't finish for various reasons.
Yeah.
But, yeah. What about you, Jack? What did you play?
Well, I've been playing The Rise of Tomb Raider.
That's the second one, right?
Yeah.
I need to finish that one. I love the first one.
Yeah, I really like the first one. And I heard the second one was more of the same, which is fine. I'm about halfway through with it. I did one of the DLCs, which is really cool. It was the Baba Yaga DLC. And it was really cool to see Baba Yaga in a AAA game.
When I was playing it, I got up to there, and I played a chunk of it, and I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, you see the walking chicken-footed house stuff, and that was neat.
It's really sick.
What was it? Really quick, you should play Smite. She's a playable character in it.
I saw that, too. Yeah, they have lots of myths and gods in there.
Yeah, she's very fun.
But I'm not a mobile guy, so...
I cannot blame you.
Same. I've tried to play multiple ones, and I just like, you know what, this is not a genre for me.
Yeah.
I can exclusively play ARAM. I don't play, like, any of the series game modes. I don't know what that is. Everybody gets a random character.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh. Aside from Tomb Raider, though, I was playing Control, and I just finished that, because, you know, it just came out on PSN.
Nice.
And I'm doing, I did the first DLC, which was Alan Wake crossover stuff. I haven't played Alan
really?
Wake games. Yeah. You could do that about halfway through. And then the last DLC is after you beat the game, which I'm starting now.
Yeah, that was like the big one, right?
Yeah, the foundation.
Hmm. You know what's funny? That the complete edition doesn't have all like the pre-order DLC and stuff.
It doesn't?
No.
That's interesting. Why is it called the Ultimate Edition then?
Yeah. That's what all you were
writing. You have to buy a completely different game, and you're saying don't cross over.
It's mostly just It's mostly just like costumes and stuff, from what I was reading. But it's still like a weird choice to like not include that kind of stuff.
Weird.
I really enjoyed the bit I've played of it so far. So
yeah, I'm a huge Metroidvania fan, and this is that. and I enjoyed it. It's not the best Metroidvania, but it is pretty good.
You count this as a Metroidvania?
Oh yeah. You have open world map, and you get new powers that unlock different areas in the map over time. Mm. And it's got a Metroidvania. It's like a shooter, a third person shooter Metroidvania. You have total control of where you want to go. You can go back and forth between areas. And you get side missions, which is neat.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I don't know if maybe I should be classified as that, but I like it either way.
I do need to download it.
Yeah, PSN. There was when they announced it, I was pretty excited because I'm like, I keep hearing how good this was, like story wise and stuff. So
it's an SCP game, which is amazing.
A what?
SCP, Secure, Contain, Protect, that kind of thing.
Oh.
It's huh. Yeah, that's what this game is. It's like the FPC is what they call it. And they have all these items, that altered items that like weird things happen around them. And that's basically what SCP is all about. For those of you who don't know, it's basically like fan-made X-Files, where you're reading the different files.
And this is very much an X-Files
the story of a person or a thing or a location of just a strange happening and them filing it away. And the SCP are the people that go and contain those things.
You can't find them unless they want to be found.
Yes, blah, blah, blah. And that's what the FBC is in this game, is they are that corporation. They're that people that take care of it.
Ah, yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was very much just like, hey, we're doing this. And I'm like, yeah. You know what, that's cool.
How about it?
Right. I think the person what's her name, the person who plays Jesse, mm-hmm. I think that she's doing a very great job, like narration and being the character and stuff. Yeah. And then all the other characters are doing their job and stuff fine. But I think she's doing she did a really great job of what I've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. That's everybody, right?
That's it.
All right.
Move on to some news.
Graham news.
All right. I guess we'll just do a little rapid fire thing. I think first, though, we should talk about CD Projekt Red. Apparently, as of this recording today, they got hacked by internet troll. Who?
It was a very cringy.
Yeah.
It was super cringy.
He made a notepad and said, "Read me in lock." And the first line is, "Hello, CD Projekt. Your have been epically pawned. PWNED.
Owned.
I thought we as a society moved on from that word.
Yeah. I started following a Twitter account called Ancient Memes. And like I see pwned on there a lot, and I'm like, oh god, remember when people said that? To see someone in the year of our Lord 2021 say that, like, oh my god, I had such secondhand embarrassment for someone who hacked CD Projekt Red.
Yeah. Oh jeez.
Yeah.
Apparently, they stole documents relating to accounting, administration, legal, HR, investor relations, as well as source code for Cyberpunk 2077, Witcher 3, Gwent, and an unreleased version of Witcher 3. And they are going to sell that online unless they can come up to an agreement.
Supposedly.
Or they're going to send it to game journalists, which is kind of an odd decision from, like, I'm not siding with the hackers. And you guys know how I feel about CD Projekt Red. I've been railing on them for their crunch and, like, a lot of other decisions with, like, Cyberpunk and everything. Obviously, hacking a company isn't great. It's not a good thing. Please don't do it. It doesn't matter how bad the company is. Well, I guess with some video game company specifically, but like the big thing is the fact that they got like financial stuff and like
people's paychecks and stuff,
and people's paychecks, like that's not the stuff, like that's just malicious, like stealing the like source code and stuff, that's mean obviously, but the thing is to take the things that is basically just taking people's identities, like that's just the information that people need to like actually like, you know, fucking
live life like, and shit.
Yeah, live life, and that's how you steal people's identities with stuff like that.
Yeah, like they're even messing with ex-employees by getting that stuff.
Yeah,
they don't
exactly.
Even work anymore. They left, like, and now you're ruining their lives with the things that you stole.
Yeah. Like that is supremely shitty.
Yep. Don't do it.
Yeah, please don't.
Especially don't be like cringe about it.
And don't be cringe about it.
That's like insult to injury. It's like you already got my stuff and you gotta say the word pwned. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Not even just pwned. Epically pwned.
Epically pwned, dude.
What? Does this guy live in like the year 2000? Like,
yeah.
What's going on, man?
Epically pwned. Ugh.
Epically.
Anyway.
I'm like wash out my mouth with soap just thinking about saying that.
Oh yeah. It took me back to the lol random era of the internet.
Yeah.
Did not like that flashback.
Yeah. But otherwise it's still shitty and, you know, like once again, stealing people's like paychecks and like all their information, like, come on, dude.
Yeah. In other news, though, E3 have pushed forward with plans for a digital event this year. They ended up canceling last year, so because of COVID. But this year, they're actually going to do something about it and not just leave it up to Jeff Keighley.
Right. I really want to know what that's going to look like. Because E3, to me, at least, E3 is nothing. E3 is a place for these companies to converge and, like, it's convenient, right? And over the last couple of years, we've seen with Sony leaving and Nintendo, like, they still have a presence. Like, Nintendo still has a presence there, but they aren't, you know, doing their conference and stuff like that. Like, they've, like, kind of half-stepped out.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if E3 can survive it and, like, if people are just, like, it depends what companies they get on board. Because as I think a lot of these most of these companies saw, they were very successful with running their own stuff. So the fact that we don't have, you know, we didn't have E3 last year and everything kind of proceeded as much or not more than normal. Like, I think more companies got to kind of do their own thing and it was good. And stuff like Summer Game Fest, and I think there was one, like two or other big, like, conglomerations of event of these like live stream events and stuff went really well. So I'm interested if like we just see E3 as like a normal trade show, because like that's been the big question since it went public. Is this just going to become another, you know, convention, not a trade show? That's not what I was looking for. And me coming from the event industry, really questions that. So
yeah, like from what was it, my dad's been in the convention industry for a long time, and like I don't think it would lose that much. It would lose kind of the spirit of it, I guess. Like, you know, people liked going to the stages and seeing like the big reveals.
Well, that's the thing, the big, well, you can't even go to that if you're a if you're an attendee.
Yeah.
you can only go to just the show floor.
Yeah.
And if they lose Sony, or not Sony, sorry, like Xbox, or, you know, Nintendo stops putting on their big thing and they do like, hey, we're going to do pop-ups or something, I don't think E3 would continue, at least in the sense that it has been. Unfortunately, it's a really good ecosystem for emerging companies and tech and stuff. Yeah. So like losing that is kind of, it's a hit to the industry in a sense. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other things that could take its place and probably be more, not future-proof, but I think you get what I mean by when I say that.
Yeah, like, something I'll speak about is I went to GDC back when I was still in college.
Oh, I heard that's
GDC,
cool.
Oh, GDC is amazing. It's boring for people who mainly just want to play video games.
Right.
It's a lot of, like, tech demos, and I remember I played around with a tool where it would create a completely unique forest. Like, it was very interesting, and there's a lot of really cool, and, you know, there was a lot of indie showcases, and it was really, it reminded me of a Penny Arcade Expo, where people say, like, there's these indie booths where you play the game, and then you talk to the person who made it. that was a lot of GDC. You weren't talking about like the game design tools. If someone was showing off something, like it's because they made it.
That was part of my favorite stuff when I was at E3. Yeah. Was there's a good handful of rows where it's like mostly that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like this was a little bit bigger of a booth, but it was before VR had capability to be away from a computer or like uncabled. Yeah. And they came up with this, like, it was one of the first times they had it out to the public, quote unquote. And it would attach to the back of, like, I don't know if it was an Oculus or a Vive, I can't remember. But we played Superhot VR. I don't know if it was actually out for VR normally yet. It probably was. But we played Superhot VR with this, like, thing where it was no cables for the first time. And it was so cool, like, we looked like jackasses, but it was so much fun. They had us like in this box and they got to like, it like green screened us out and stuff. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is actually super sick.
It was awesome. And me and my buddies were like, we were kind of messing with each other and stuff while doing it too. It was great. And Superhot VR is just super fun on top of it. But like, I was like, you know, you do like the crab walk and like you try and like dodge out and stuff. But it was cool because like, because most people, like, when they're doing it at home, they don't have that much space to, like, be free about it. And trying this tech out that, you know, for the first time, your cable-free VR was, like, sick. So, but, like, stuff like that. Like, I think, you know, a lot of tech demos or things like that, you know, you'd lose out on losing out on the physical, like, thing of E3. But I think it makes sense for all these big companies to do their own thing, like, you know, Sony's State of Play stuff, everything else has been, and, like, Nintendo stuff, you know, even if it's still, like, at the same time of year when they do stuff, it makes sense because they're big enough. They don't need it.
Yeah.
I feel like what they should do is do what Devolver Digital did last year, where they made a game that you could play that was just a convention, and you would go walk around in the convention and see the games at booths like that. And they would have like someone talk about the game, and you could just look at the game just like you
did. That was great.
Another fan project did that. There's these guys that do PlayStation style video games, like their own fan made games set in like the PlayStation like art style. I guess they're using the engine, but they I think it was last year, 2 years ago, they had their own horror game convention where you could walk around and then play the games in the convention. But I think that'd be a really fun way for you to kind of get that convention experience as well as see all the game stuff. It wouldn't be the same as in person tech demo things, but like to see like the trailers.
It's definitely not the same, but I get what you're saying. I don't know. Because there's been a lot of conventions that have done those like ad hoc kind of things where it's like, yep, here's our digital show floor and stuff like that. And I don't know, each time just it's not the same because like you're not getting to see, like, you just basically go into a website, you know, like what's the difference of me pulling up on, you know, whatever store's website and looking at, oh, here's this comic book and here's a picture of the comic book in this fake show floor. It's just an extra step for unnecessary sake. I would rather, you know, whatever parties just link and do it that way or something at that point. Because most people go in knowing what they want.
The experience.
Yeah.
anyway.
What else you got? Anything else?
Yeah. have you guys seen that Black Myth Wukong trailer?
I saw it because you sent it to me.
And it's something that everyone should check out because it looks amazing. It was announced last year with a tech demo gameplay trailer by this Chinese company that are making this game based on the Wukong legend. And it
Journey looks, to the West.
Journey to the West. And it looks incredible.
Yep. it looks really good. It really does.
My hot take on it is that it looks like a video game.
It really does.
It looks like I'll be able to play it.
Yeah.
The thing is, just so little is known about it that it's like,
right,
it's cool, but it's just like, it will.
Well, there's nothing. It's barely begun development. Because the trailer that they made last year was to get people's interest to come work for the company and to work on this game. So it's probably not going to be in another couple of years until it's out.
But it's, I like the, I mean, it's cool. I think, you know, what was the last, like, you know, game that was based on that that's come out in any time recent? So, like, having a modernized game, you know, because we've come a decently long way since the last time. I think there was one on, like, GameCube or something, and it was GameCube. So the fact that we're getting, you know, something a little bit newer, it could be good, it could be terrible, we'll see, we don't know anything. But I like the idea that we're getting something like that, and I hope it paves the way for more stuff like that that's, like, rooted in mythology, where you play, like, mythological characters or whatever in their stories.
Well,
that's one of the cool and kind of sad things about mythology. You know, some of it's been really well preserved and some of it hasn't been, but it leaves a lot of, like, interpretation available. Because, like, there's these just huge chunks of stuff missing in certain mythology stories. And, you know, just the fact that they have that leaves developers a lot of space to still create what they want, while taking these stories that are awesome, you know, that people either know or don't know or whatever. Like, there's a ton of, like, great Norse mythology stuff, and that's, like, very loosely taken, because some of it might be, like, or other stuff that's, like, all word of mouth things and stuff like that. I highly suggest, if you don't listen to it and you're interested in mythology, there's a podcast called Myths and Legends. They do an amazing job, like, retelling stories, mythology stories and stuff like that. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge, like, mythology nerd, so the fact that we're getting that and just what it can allude to future projects seems really cool.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Also, did you guys hear about that GoldenEye 007 remake for the 360 that got canceled, got leaked, and is playable on the 360 emulators?
How long ago did that happen? Was that happening around the same time as we got the other GoldenEye remake thing?
Probably.
No, this was a while ago. It was, like, supposed to be early 360. GoldenEye remake was for the Wii.
It was later ported, that's right. It was GoldenEye Reloaded or whatever when it
got
ported.
Yeah, and that was with, what's his name? The newest.
Yeah, they placed Craig in it. Yeah, Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig, yeah, they put Daniel Craig in it and everything. They redid it all. But, no, this was, I think, it looks like it was done by the Rare team, the Rare devs, and they were trying to fix it up and make it look good, updated graphics, and utilizing the right stick, analog stick for the 360. And it looks really good on the console, or on the emulators. I've seen some video footage, but it does look like it wasn't perfect. Like, there was a couple bugs still. It looks like they
weren't done with it.
Yeah,
it was pretty much done. Yeah. They said they only had, like, a few bugs left to work on.
The difference between done and pretty much done is pretty vast, though.
I'll try it out, and I'll see how much of it was there. Because the thing is, it's very possible to have, like, the first couple levels completely polished and, like, done, and then not the rest of it. Do you know if it's, like, the full game?
Yeah, it's a full game. According to this article, there was, like, 90 bugs left to fix. It was nearly completed. The Rare devs are talking about it. Doing
interviews. It really sounds like it was... Yeah, it sounds like it was really just in the polish stage then, which would have been, like, you know, a couple more months. Thing is, like, it's only a couple more months as compared to, like, you know, the full 3-year game development cycle.
Did they say why it was canceled?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, I first heard about it with you when we were talking about stuff to talk about. So I didn't even know that existed. That's cool.
Yeah, pretty neat.
I do love me some James Bond, but I'm more of a Connery, man. I like Connery and I like Craig a lot, so. But.
Well, something else that you like is Mass Effect.
I do like Mass Effect. Legendary Edition's coming, was it March 13th, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, we,
soon.
I don't know. How did you feel about Andromeda, though?
The fact that I didn't finish it, and it's a Mass Effect game. Like, yeah. I've finished, like, every BioWare game except for Andromeda and Anthem. I've barely started Anthem because I just can't do it. And Andromeda, I got most of the way through. There are things that I think there are some things that were judged a little harshly, but there's a lot of, like, legitimate complaint about the game. There are a lot of issues with the game. And it's just not up to standard of what we came to expect from the previous Mass Effects. But after, I think it was Mass Effect 3, a large chunk of the BioWare team left. Which should tell you a lot, because that's when the game started going downhill. I'm not super worried about the Legendary Edition in terms of large changes, because I don't think they're going to. I think, you know, we've seen some stuff that they're going to change, but it's all been fine, in my opinion. I think we're going to talk about more of one of those in a minute. But the fact that they're the story is already set. It's not like a new story being written. I think, though, because the same guy who wrote Knights of the Republic, I think, also did some writing for Mass Effect. Or at least he wrote the books, Drew Karpashian. Like, a lot of the good BioWare era stuff, he had a hand in. At least, like, even if it wasn't the actual storyline, it was, like, the side stories and stuff like that. Where it's, like, books or things like that. And that's what why I was very excited for Anthem initially, because they were going to bring him back to write for it. And then he didn't, and I was sad.
Well, and according to this article, Mass Effect Andromeda was supposed to have 10 new alien species, but they were cut due to budget, scope, and cosplay. Apparently they were not in the cosplay safe territory, and they wanted
more
aliens.
That's so dumb, because, like, that's one of the coolest things when you have, like, see a cosplayer and they're able to do some, like, ridiculous outfit and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the high, like, the people who could do that crazy stuff. Like, don't limit what you create because of, you know, marketing in that sense. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Right. Like, those, like, are my favorite cosplays, when they do the crazy stuff. Like, when I saw a dude walking around as a Big Daddy, that was insane.
I've literally seen a working Transformer outfit. This thing was, like, 3 of me tall, and he could he literally transformed into a car at a con, and it was absurd. So, like, don't tell me you can't do something, because I've seen that to proven false many times.
Yeah, as, like, at least for, like, to me, at least, that's 3 good reasons to cut them. Obviously, the first 2 are a bit more important of scope and time.
Sure, that, like, makes sense. Like, I understand that, but don't say cosplay.
Yeah, like, it's, I appreciate their concern, but they need to understand that cosplayers will do anything. Like, cosplayers, like, never underestimate a cosplayer. Really.
They go challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll become everything. Even if it's not meant to be cosplay, they'll cosplay.
I don't want to talk about it. But, yeah, man. Do you remember, Jack, when we were in school and it was Spirit Week and stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, Aiden and Zach did the, like, float-sized Slink Dog from Toy Story.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I did the Jabba the Hutt the one time, and it fell apart when I was on stage, and I was very sad. Like, the whole back end was, like, rigged on a skateboard for the slug tail. And I think it was, like, half made out of a shower curtain, but it looked good still, and then it fell apart, and I was sad.
That was
right, so, like, even, like, low-scale stuff, you could still do crazy stuff. It just, it's a challenge, you know?
That's the fun of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise. Like, there's always stuff on the cutting room floor of almost any game, especially stuff like that. That's why books and stuff exist, is they can go way deeper into it, you know.
Was it really quick, if you are interested in that, if I remember correctly, there's a website called Cutting Room Floor where it shows all the, like, concept designs that didn't really go anywhere for games.
Fantastic.
We had to use it as a resource back when I was doing game design stuff.
It's a fantastic website. It's very interesting.
I've heard of that.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Nice.
And there's lots of YouTube channels that go and like do theme themselves based on things they find on there.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. That's super cool. I love finding background stuff, like, or like progress pictures. Like, I have a couple like original art from comic books and stuff, and I love seeing like how stuff started and stuff like that, like storyboards or things like that. Like, that kind of stuff's super interesting because you see like the full scope of something. Or like original scripts are interesting. So like the original script for Rise of Skywalker was like actually really good, and then we got Rise of Skywalker, which was not really really good. Personal opinions, whatever. But yeah, I mean, I love seeing the process of that kind of stuff. So I got to check out that website because I've never heard of that before. That's neat.
Yeah.
What about anything else, Jack? Is that it?
Oh, that's what I got on my list of news articles.
Cool. One thing to add on to Mass Effect was that people are apparently upset that they are not doing as many ass shots. And by ass shots, I mean like you're talking to somebody and the camera's just like focused on their ass. Good. That's good.
Yeah, it's like you're in shot, but so is their ass right next to your character.
It takes away. So like one of the things people keep bringing up, and it's absolutely accurate. Like, so Miranda, which was in Mass Effect 2, was one of the biggest defenders, in my opinion, in the entire series of the ass shot. Like, she'll be telling her like her backstory, and like it's like this kind of deep moment, and they're just like zoomed in on her ass, and I'm like, okay, but like story, right? And so apparently people are upset about that, and that's dumb.
They're upset they're taking it away.
Right. They're not upset that it's there. They're upset they're taking it away. And like, I get it to an extent, but if you want more ass shots, just play the original versions. I'm going to play the one where I can like see a character being like, hey, I'm sad about this thing. Not, hey, I'm sad about this thing, but hey, check out my ass. I've always had a problem with the gratuitous ass shots in the game, so I'm glad that they're changing that.
Yeah, like we talked about this a little bit before we started, but like I do think it's very funny that people are actually mad about it. Like, and ultimately people are like trying to cry censorship, and they're like, oh, well, you know, they're getting censored. It's like, they're the ones deciding to do it. And you had a good point, Bill, of like, yeah, when a character is talking about like their deep backstory, that's like sad. You don't want just like a shot of
their ass. You want their backstory. You want the backstory.
Yeah, that's the plot right there.
Oh, God.
No, that's the wrong. The plot's the other part, Jack. The backstory is the backstory.
I watch it for all the plot.
Man. Because it's one thing, like, if a character's going down a ladder, that's like, okay, that makes sense that there's an ass shot because you're going down a ladder. It's another thing when it's just dialogue ass shot.
Yeah.
Like, cinematic camera, sure, but like, not every scene needs to be an ass shot. Because like, and they'll be introducing characters, and it's like, here's a close-up on their ass.
Just so you know.
Right. It's absurd. Alright. Yeah. Enough of ass. Ty, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, welcome back to Ty's Fighting Game Corner. This is, I think, like the third week in a row that the only news I've had is fighting game related.
I mean, I feel like this just needs to be a segment in general for you, because like, you like fighting games.
Yeah, but we don't always have. Like, there isn't always cool news for fighting games. Mm-hmm. We've just been kind of lucky the last couple, like, months.
You could just, like, have tidbits of, like, did you know this thing in this game? Or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you know that E. Honda's actual name is Edmund?
I did not, but now I do. Thank you.
Boom. But anyway, for actual news, so two things got announced recently. First one, the one that I'm more excited for, is Guilty Gear. Guilty Gear just introduced a new mechanic in which every character is getting a move that they can only do if they have a quarter of their health or less. And so far we've seen three of them, I believe.
So how does that work? Is there a meter, or it's just once you hit that segment?
It's just once you hit that segment.
Is it obvious when you hit that threshold?
I would assume so.
It's not very obvious. Like,
there's... Bard catch fire, or does like it glow like flash or something? Or you're just supposed to like, okay, that looks like enough.
Like that's what we're trying to figure out, because it's only been shown off in like one gameplay video. It was like one big gameplay video where it's like three matches back to back.
Gotcha.
And we see the characters do it, but we're like not entirely sure about it. It's like a little notation. It's like, hey, here's how you do it. And you have to have less than a quarter of your health. It's like, okay.
Interesting. I mean, that's them just teasing you.
Yeah. That's how it works.
That's cool, though. But, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, they're changing the game a little bit. I think that's a good idea.
Are they, like, overpowered moves, or is it, like, to help you get out of a tight spot, or what? What's so unique about it?
What's unique about it is that Guilty Gear or Strive hasn't had anything that, like, the old ones haven't had outside of a wall break. You can break the barriers of the stage.
Oh, like an Injustice or the other games that do that?
Yeah. That seemed to be, like, the only, like, original thing for Strive. Otherwise, it was a Guilty Gear game. And usually, the new Guilty Gear games, like, introduce something. So to get this is, like, kind of the thing that's going to make Strive different.
Okay.
Like, just generally.
That's cool. I like that as a like design idea.
Yeah, because the game comes out in 2 months, so it's a little surprising that get it like this late.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What's their promotional like? Well, I guess they can't really do the same stuff that they used to do. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and then the other piece of fighting game news is we got Street Fighter V. I think there's going to be a big announcement about it tomorrow. Either tomorrow or sometime this week, where they're going to finally start showing off the next season of characters in a bit more depth.
We're going to do a special episode for you to do that.
We do not need to. I haven't talked about it too much on the show, but I'm not the biggest fan of Street Fighter V. Street Fighter IV is my baby.
You're the biggest fan of Street Fighter V is what you're saying.
Yeah, obviously. But I have a lot of problems with Street Fighter V that I'm probably going to do in a blog segment. But
by the way, we have a blog now.
Yes, go to jrpgbookclub.com. I did a lot of work on it. Please go to the website.
It looks amazing. Yeah.
And we have two posts up by Jack already about music.
Yeah,
and one by
one by me about indie game. One of my favorites, Firewatch. And we'll do another edit then, so we can get in depth about it. Hopefully, Ties will be out this week.
Yeah, I'll be able to put mine out next week. Or this week rather. And then, so tomorrow they're going to announce the new mechanic that's coming in the next season. And then they're also going to be showing off the first two characters, Dan and Rose. And we might get a reveal for the last character. Because we know the first four characters of the five characters. We don't know the last one. But we'll see. I'm not too excited, I have to admit. Like, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm kind of judgy when it comes to Street Fighter V stuff. We'll see.
Well, you were like super deep into it. Was it 4?
Yeah, I used to play 4 competitively.
Yeah.
I got top 200 at Evo 1 year, which was really cool. So before we make it to the end, let's walk you through some ads.
Amazing.
Talk about the end.
All right. So basically, the big news story of this week is Final Fantasy 14 Endwalker. We got details on the newest expansion. I know me and Tyus played at least a decent amount of 14. I only finished Heavensward. I need to go back. I own Stormblood and Shadowbringers, and I keep hearing how amazing those two arcs are.
Yeah.
And they just like refined the like in between part, which was really annoying because like you had to go through like a ton of like fetch questy type stuff to like get to the next part. So apparently that's not a thing as much anymore. And so I can't wait to jump back in. I'm gonna wait for the PS5 update edition to jump back in, I think. Yeah, it should be coming in a couple months. But I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's your experience been with 14, both of you guys?
I have not played it.
Excellent.
Well, that was fast. I played it a bit. I completed the main story. I saw what everyone was complaining about with the main story. I did the hell stuff in between the main story and Heaven's Ward right before it got taken out.
Hmm.
But, you know, it was still worth going through. That was it. Like, I've had a lot of fun with it. I paid.
Did you finish the DLCs?
No, I did not. Like, that's the thing. I got to the first DLC, and then I just got busy with life.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I loved Heaven's Ward. But apparently, like, Stormblood, and because I keep hearing Stormblood and Shadowbringers, but Stormblood is, like, was the first one to hear, I've heard say this, where it's the, they say it's the best Final Fantasy, like, storytelling, like, maybe ever, if not since, like, the Golden Era.
Yeah.
Of Final Fantasy. So I'm like, I need to play it, and I got some, it was the same thing with you where I just got busy.
Yeah, like I really enjoy the game, but it has such a time investment.
Oh, time, yeah.
Investment is just too much.
It's a lot. I mean, that's MMOs though.
Yeah.
Like most MMOs. Unless you're playing like later on when they have like special like login bonuses where just like, hey, let me shoot your character level up to the moon. You're kind of stuck like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like the game a lot. I think it's one of the better MMOs I'm familiar with. Like, the most of the MMOs I've played, I consider good, but I'm also biased. Star Wars The Old Republic, I played a lot of that. I played a lot of Final Fantasy XIV and then Endbringers, I think. Or not Endbringers, but Final Fantasy XIV and bunch of Fantasy Star Online too. I think there's some other ones that I've played on and off, but like those were the main like core ones I've played in recent memory. I adore all three of those, but I'm very picky on the games like that because they're so massive. But I very much enjoy the story, like a lot of the story beats of 14. But yeah, there's definitely some flaws. But I can't wait to get into the DLC because I hear that's just amazing. So
yeah.
But for Endbringers, we got there was a big stream. Was it like Friday?
You mean Endwalkers?
What did I say?
You said Endbringers.
Yes, Endwalkers.
It's like a Lightbringer, but an Endwalker.
Yeah. Well, the last DLC was Shadowbringers.
Yeah.
So I'm probably just combining those two because I'm an idiot. What'd you say?
As opposed to the Lightbringers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was all like focused on like the Warriors of Darkness or whatever, or something. I still haven't played it. I own it. I haven't played it. Well, the problem is you have to own the game and the DLCs and then pay for a subscription. That's my problem. Because like most of the other games have gone like free to play at this point, and that game's been around for like forever now, and it probably just costs a lot for them to initially like make the game and stuff, and then they had to recreate the game, and then on top of it they had to do other, you know, all the other stuff. So like it probably just had a massive investment and they haven't been able to like switch to the free to play model yet or as easily. Would be my guess. But they announced the new one, Endwalker, coming in the fall, which is exciting. They also announced the PS5 upscaled version, which is also super excited because like the load times are like non-existent now, and that was a big issue. And yeah, it looks good. The new stuff that I've seen coming, I'm just pulling off from memory. You level up your characters to 90. I think before the cap was 80. And we have a new class confirmed, the Sage. Sage is weird because it has like flying knife things, and because like traditionally in Final Fantasy you had sages that were basically, it was a mix of black mage and white mage.
Yeah.
It's basically the level up of the red mage, except no swords, because it can use both the magic.
Yeah.
I think it's, they can use magic to the full effect on both scales of black and white magic.
Yeah.
Because this one has kind of a Final Fantasy IV theme, And you said it was Tella, right? Yeah, Tella was the sage.
Yeah.
So
I believe he was classified as a sage. It was either a sage or a mage, but still, like, black and white magic, what we're used to.
It sounds like his unlock level is 70 too, which is I think the other ones were 50.
Yeah, the other ones were 50 and 60.
Gotcha. Cool. And then we don't know what the second class is going to be. We just know it's a melee DPS. Melee. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, melee DPS. Which, like, the only hint that we've had of it is, like, skulls. So people are kind of, like, assuming Necromancer.
Which would be cool. Be
weird, because we've had Necromancers once in Final Fantasy. It was in Final Fantasy V, and that was a magic-based class.
Right. So I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you go down the list of jobs, like, they've done a lot of them. At this point, so who knows?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of new areas. There's a new island, and there you can visit the Garlean Empire or something like that, I guess. And you can visit both of those. And then there's like a farming minigame, or maybe not minigame, but there's like you can do farming now, which is weird.
Interesting.
You could like tend to animals and stuff. Like you have your farm island or something. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
New housing. Because we know the housing thing's crazy. In Shadowbringers, they introduced a thing called trust NPCs, where they like will go through missions with you. Estinian has been added to that list. I know spoilers. I love that boy. I play. Well, I guess Ty does too. We were talking about earlier. We both play dragoons. In the game, and Estinian is very tied into both the Dragoon storyline as well as the Heavensward storyline.
Yeah.
And it was pretty dope. I like him. We both play the card game, and I'm like the art for the card game for his like L card was
stunning,
beautiful. I love it. Right. That needs to be a full art.
Oh, definitely.
The fact that it hasn't yet.
They were thinking about it. I remember I saw like a concept of it that looked amazing.
Yeah, that's right. I remember seeing that too. I thought it was just somebody made it, but yeah.
Yeah.
There's a new raid tier. I think it's a new difficulty based on things from Final Fantasy II and Final Fantasy IX. There's the new patch that has Dragon Song War. There's a new tribe that's an elephant-inspired group called the... I'm going to butcher this. Matagana?
I assume that's right.
So, sure. I guess they're taking... they're removing belts.
Oh, so, yeah. I remember seeing something about that.
They serve no aesthetic purpose, and they're just going to like make that space get split between like rings and weapons. Mm-hmm. So they're adding 5 extra slots for other use, basically. They didn't specify what the other use is, but that starts in patch 6.0, which is weird, but sure. they're adding Anima as a boss, as a primal.
I'm sure Final Fantasy X fans are very excited for that.
Yeah,
I mean, it's cool.
A crazy boss.
The art is really cool on it. So
all of the Amano art for this expansion is amazing as well.
Oh yeah, that 100%. We were me and you were geeking out over that.
Oh yeah.
They're changing stats around. Yeah, so like it was weird. I think they're just basically saying like the stats are way too big. And so they're like reducing them down. Things will basically be the same, but doing some older content like unsynced is going to be harder, kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And then one of the big news, which I think is cool, is that they're going to allow players to be able to travel between data centers. Which is annoying if you're trying to play with other people.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to like cross play with each other. So it sounds like they're going to be fixing that. Yeah. So the Final Fantasy 14 patch 5.5 is going to be out April 13th. Along with the PlayStation 5 beta version. And then Endwalker will be coming in in fall of 2021. We don't know the details, but it sounds like there's going to be more expansion details in May.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's all I got on the Endwalker stuff, but I'm pretty excited. It sounds cool. I'm really interested to see what the other class that they've announced is yet.
Yeah.
Because like it's always super fun to play like a new class and stuff in this game.
Yeah.
Because like at least for me, I'm like, cool, I'm gonna stick to my one thing, and I'm kind of locked into that for most of it, unless they give me DLC that's already at least relatively leveled up. So.
Yeah, yeah. Like we were talking about this before, but I definitely wanna. I played exclusively Dragoon, and I still exclusively play Dragoon, but I think with it coming
Dragoon's
to PS5...
Dragoon's storyline is so good.
Oh, it's so good. But I think when it comes to PS5, a lot more people are going to be interested in it, because the like free-to-play aspect of it, they give you the first DLC and up to level 60, which is already a good chunk of the game.
Oh, is that what they updated to?
Yeah, it's a lot of content.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. The only thing is you get one character, and that's it. And you don't
that's
get
fine.
Any... I think you get the dragon people, right? But you can't use the Vyra, which, you know, everybody wants.
I mean, I'm good.
Screw you. Vyras are the best. But
I mean, they're fine, but I'm not going to, like, be like, oh, I'm not going to play this game that is expensive to play, and they give me the base game and DLC for free, which is already, like, hundreds of hours of content. That's awesome.
But I want to be a bunny girl, okay?
Look, you do you, buddy.
Anyway,
you do you, bunny.
Oh my god. I'm like, I think people are going to be interested in it, so I want to do a magic-based class or like something different. So I'm excited for it. And then we also forgot to mention there's going to be a new mount, the Lunar Whale from Final Fantasy IV. It's an 8-player mount.
Yeah.
It's a whale?
People can just cruise on it. Yeah, it's called the Lunar Whale.
Did you play 4, Jack? 4-2? 2-4? Whatever?
It's based on... basically just like a giant spaceship that looks like a whale.
It's a whale. It's a giant whale.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll put a picture into our group chat after we're done. And then there's also minions for Edge, Rosa, and Rydia, I believe.
That sounds right. I think some of the other ones already exist.
Yeah, yeah, because I know that there's a Cecil one. But yeah, I'm generally excited. People keep telling me Final Fantasy 14 is like the best story out of like any Final Fantasy game, and I still want to test that out. Like from like A Realm Reborn's story was okay, but it was very dry, and it kept.
I feel like
on.
It didn't get good until the end. Like it was very like whatever until the end, and you're like, oh shit, things kind of like things happened,
yeah, and then cool stuff happens,
and then the DLC happens, and you're like, oh, this DLC is cool, but it has nothing to do with that stuff, but it's still cool, and I'm super into it because Dragoons in like this castle city is awesome.
Yeah, because people keep telling me that, what was it, Shadowbringers has, like, an amazing story, like, completely, like, groundbreaking story, and I'm excited
same
to
thing,
get
same
to
thing
it.
With Stormblood. I kept hearing how amazing the Stormblood storyline is.
Yeah, and I'm excited to get to it, but it's just going through the, like, 200 hours of gameplay to get to that.
It's a lot of work, man.
Yeah, or you just skip it all, and then you miss all of it, but, like, I don't want to. I want to, like, grind my way there. I want to play through it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they give you plenty of options to, like, just kind of skip through. I'm like, no. Like, this is... That misses the point of playing an RPG.
Exactly.
So. Yep. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think that's kind of just where we're at. You know, a nice brief last topic.
Right. We the other stuff took... We got into a little bit more than I think we thought we were going to.
Yeah.
At least I do. I always end up rambling.
I know I do,
but
so it works out.
Team efforts. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm super excited for this expansion. It got me hyped for the game again. Because I kind of every once in a while I forget that the game exists to an extent, and then this was like, oh shit, so much cool stuff, and now I'm like, man, I really want to go back and play the stuff that I keep hearing is like legitimately amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and as we get more cards in the TCG. Are always like, oh, this character's in it, and the character looks like boring as hell.
There's the Shadowbringers 2-player expansion that's coming out.
Yeah, like when Emmett Selch got added to the TCG, I remember everybody was like,
he's
the best villain, he's like so good, he's so cool. I'm like, yeah, it's a cool card, but he looks boring.
He does.
People are like, oh no, he's the best like villain Final Fantasy has ever had, and I'm like,
I want to know more.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I want to get there, but I have to play like 200 hours of MMO before I get there.
Yeah, you said, so you haven't finished the first DLC yet, right?
No, I just started the first DLC, because there's the...
Finish that, and let's play together.
Okay. We'll see. if I have 200 hours to kill.
Do it. You know. Well, the first DLC is not that long.
Okay.
Like it's there's time, but it's not nearly as long as Realm Reborn or anything.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because it's DLC.
Yeah.
Because I think there's only like a handful of like major points or whatever. And what level's your character right now?
I think I'm like just below 60.
Yeah, you'll talk care of that easy. I'm sure. Cool. So, yeah. I mean, again, I found it to be super fun and good. And I'm excited to see what else they do with it, because this is supposed to be the last DLC in this current like storyline that they've been telling. And then supposedly they're going to start something new after this. Like, it's still going to be Final Fantasy 14, but it's like a new arc.
Interesting.
Supposedly. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what they do with it. Especially if the last two have been as good as everyone says they are. Because I know I liked Heavensward, but nobody said, like, people said it's good, but it's not, like, as good as Stormblood or Shadowbringers, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see if A, this holds up to the hype, and B, what they do with the next bit, because it'll be completely, like, I wonder if it's going to be completely detached from the rest of it in some way or something. So, I'm psyched.
Yeah, same.
We just got to play, like, 200 hours together.
Yeah.
I think that does it for tonight's episode. Today's episode, whatever. Whenever I upload this, we're recording at night, so you know. anything else you guys want to add?
Nope, I'm good.
Possible Final Fantasy VII Remake news coming next week at the time of this recording.
Oh, yeah.
The concert is happening. There's like a Final Fantasy concert going on, and they're hyping up some news that they're going to talk about for Final Fantasy VII Remake. They're doing like a, developers and composers are doing a video a day until the concert, and they're talking about, hey, we got some news to show at the concert about Final Fantasy VII. Remake. So who knows, maybe it's just news about a PC port, maybe it's news about part two, maybe I don't know,
maybe it's nothing
maybe it's just like, hey guys, here's a limited edition same game but just like a steelbook cover or something.
It could be new gen port.
Oh man, PS5 upgrade, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. The fact that they're hyping it up means it's probably going to be bigger than we think it is, but at the same time, it could also be relatively small. Either way, it's exciting to see.
Square has done this for other concerts, like Kingdom Hearts and stuff. Yep. They've announced big things from it. So
maybe there's a Final Fantasy VII Remake-themed rhythm game.
Oh, man.
Give me the dancing scene from the Honeybee.
Yeah, just make that a full game.
I want that. I want that so bad. I absolutely adored that scene.
That's just going to be the new Final Fantasy VII rhythm game. It's just the honeybee.
I'm sold. You know what? I'm sold. I was making a joke. I sold myself.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah. Is that it for you guys then?
That's it. I'm
good.
I will say one more time, check out our blog. We're trying to do a post a week, if not more. Next up, we've got Ty's post, and
I have one that we're diving into as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all going to take turns every week trying to put up some new stuff. My next one is going to be a guest post. And yeah, so the most recent, Jack's been doing episodes on his favorite music and games called Jack's Jukebox. I'm doing a series called Indie Insights, where I delve into like some of my favorite indie games. This week, or the next one we're doing, which should be in 2 weeks or whatever, that should be on Hades with my buddy Emmanuel. He's going to be writing that one. And Ty is doing a series called What Were They Thinking?
Yes, where I'm going to talk about questionable game design choices.
And then there's probably going to be some other series in the works. We're still, you know, hammering out details and stuff about what we want to write and what we're comfortable writing. But you should expect some other stuff soon, too. You can reach out to us if you have any questions or ideas or anything. And I think that's about it for this episode.
All right.
This was Bill.
This is Ty.
And I'm Jack, and that was the Magazine Rack.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.